This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
Welcome back to the Winning Plays Podcast with Brian Robb. I am Rich Levine. D-Rob, we started doing this on YouTube now. I know this isn't great for the people listening on the podcast, but we put all these conversations on YouTube now. Do you feel more pressure? Is it weird? Like I mind fuck myself enough having to listen to myself every week, but having to listen to myself and look at myself every episode, it's almost too much.
It's a different element for sure. And yeah, it is a lot of primary pressure.
Yeah. Okay. So I got back. I went to Vegas last weekend, not for Team USA, but to watch the Big Three.
You know, yeah. What was your Glenn Davis one-on-one? How did that go?
My Glenn Davis one-on-one was great. So he didn't show up playing this year.
Oh,
I didn't go. That wasn't the only reason I was going for. That was one of the many reasons. I think maybe I'll catch up with Big Baby for a little bit. Big Baby wasn't there. I have two pieces of Celtics intel. Very important.
Yes.
I hope the nightly sports shows haven't written out their plans for the night, because it's about to blow it up. Okay. First, Al Jefferson spoke to Al Jefferson, Celtics legend. Reached out to Danny Ainge after Danny Ainge stepped down. Al Jefferson was moved to reach out to Danny because he's still so thankful about the fact that Danny Ainge drafted him and gave him his first opportunity in the NBA. And I mean, Al Jefferson is a very sweet guy. I guess it's not a total shock that he would say something that make you say, oh, Al Jefferson, but that was pretty cool.
That's super cool. And Al Jefferson, who was that 14th overall pick, I feel like, in that? Because that was one of Danny Ainge's first picks, period. Once he got on the job, and clearly was arguably the biggest one of his tenure, because that's the key to landing Kevin Garnett was Al Jefferson.
It was 15th pick. And I would say that is the biggest issue the Celtics have right now in terms of acquiring a third superstar, as we've talked about, is that there is no Al Jefferson. Maybe you can talk yourself in little spurts. Maybe Rob Williams could be an Al Jefferson. Like, you could see what he does for like a week and say, ooh, maybe this is someone that could be the centerpiece of a superstar deal. But, you know, staying healthy, staying on the court, Rob Williams' biggest problem at the moment. But that is, I would say, the Celtics' biggest issue is they don't have that centerpiece for the future.
That would be, I mean, Peyton Pritchard's not doing it for you right now?
Yeah, I think Peyton Pritchard, maybe Grant Williams has a chance this year
Well, who's closest to becoming, or who has the most potential, not to become Al Jefferson, to have the allure of the young guy of the upside in a year or two.
That's Rob.
Yeah, it's Rob. But after Rob, is there anyone else on this roster that could, because Rob, we know, you know, Rob clearly can do that if he can stay healthy. You know, the upside is clearly there. But after that, is it Nesmith at this point? Is that like your biggest hope left?
I think Nesmith mostly for the shooting.
Right.
I think he's a guy that, like, if he comes out, What did he finish last year shooting? I know that stuff. It was a relatively small sample size. I know he certainly, even if the percentage isn't quite, I hope. I mean, 37% in his rookie year. And when you think about how he was playing most of it, you know, where you don't play for a couple games and you come out, it's very hard to get into a rhythm. For me, I think if he can come out and he shoots like over 40% from three, the athleticism. I know that defense was a knock on him as well. I mean, obviously, it's a matter of understanding NBA defense. It's a matter of physically able to play NBA defense. But I think that he showed me enough to make me confident enough to say that I don't think he could be a minus. Maybe he's not going to be a plus quite yet. But if he can come out, play some defense, and continue to be that 50-50 guy, you know, that guy who can get the loose balls, who will crash the boards, to me, Smith could inspire some of that. You know, again, not quite Al Jefferson level, but like somewhat of a younger asset that dangle out in front of a team and maybe have him go crazy for.
So do you bring this up right now for any, just thinking big picture wise, or is this part of your Vegas intel that they don't have this guy?
Or just, no, just I a think matter that's of just, fact? That's just from watching the team for the last couple of years. My other piece of Celtics intel. So I caught up with Joe Alexander. You remember Joe Alexander?
West Virginia,
eighth pick by the Bucks. I forget what year, you know, over a decade ago at this point, has spent the last handful of years playing in Israel.
Okay.
So I when I'm talking, hey, how's Madar? So Yem Madar is nickname in Israel is the shitty kid.
The shitty kid.
The shitty kid. I'm going to take credit for creating that. This will be like my own personal time lord. The shitty kid, because I mean, I still don't quite understand the explanation, but it's a good thing. So they said his confidence is off the roof, right? And that no matter who he's playing against, he treats them shitty. He goes in just as a tough guy. It doesn't matter if he's playing against the best player in the Israeli league or a rookie playing his first minutes. He goes at him the same way with that shitty attitude. So they call him the shitty kid. Again, I don't quite understand it, but I'm going to call him the shitty kid moving forward. And maybe there's some Hebrew translation that doesn't quite work as well. But Yamadar is the shitty kid. Let that be the title of this podcast.
That's pretty fun intel to get right there, because you're not going to get that. That's not going to make it through the waves. I mean, you're only going to get that from an American over there, because that's probably going to who can translate it properly from a nickname perspective, I feel like.
And if you ever hear it again, I think it's most likely that it came from this conversation.
Yeah, so there you go. Cool. So when I see him in summer league, that'll be my first question. Be like, hey, shitty kid, get over here. And then we'll see how he responds to that. And then we'll go from there.
I think it's a chance worth taking. I think that like the negative response, it's not like he's never going to talk to you again.
Yeah.
But if it goes well, like you're immediately his guy.
Right.
Like every Yam leak from here until he's put to the Hall of Fame in 15 years will come via Brian. So I think that's a pretty cool chance to take.
Have you watched any Yam film yet?
I've watched the best of Yam that's put together and run on YouTube every once in a while. But yeah, I mean, I've spoken to some people with the Celtics about him, as I'm sure you have. And they said like, he's an okay shooter.
Right.
Confidence is not an issue. Great playmaker, not quite a Campazzo level playmaker, probably not Rondo. I mean, compared him to Rondo. I saw that online at one point this week that maybe he's the Israeli Rondo. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think my expectations are too high this year.
No, I mean, he's not a lock to bring him aboard this year, period. I mean, maybe on like a two-way, but they're going to have to buy him out of his Israeli contract, it looks like, to get him over here, which is not going to be nothing. I mean, they'll obviously do it if he looks great in summer league, but with only three open roster spots right now, I think it's far from a sure thing that they bring him. Then again, though, they have a clear need for another point guard. And if Tremont Waters is not, kind of fades into the sunset here, then they could have, obviously an open two-way spot as well.
Yeah, I mentioned that we were putting all these on YouTube now. So we got some comments in the YouTube section. There was one I wanted to bring up with you specifically, because I think it's very interesting. One of the guys says that you were his fourth grade teacher.
No, so I never taught fourth grade. I was a teacher's aide in Newton for 2 years, never fourth grade. So he must have like messed it up. But yeah, I right out of college, I spent a year or two when I was just freelancing as like a special needs aide in a Newton classroom. So I assume that's who he's talking about then.
Did you ever think you're thinking about how life might be different if you were still doing that as opposed to talking about Yamadar on a podcast?
I mean, I love teaching, but I like the hours of Celtics games earlier than the 7 a.m. wake up of a teacher.
You know, but so West Coast road trips included?
Not playoff, anymore. Not playoff, if a kid playoffs anymore. Included? Not if a kid. That I mean, the kid might be a game changer for that for right now. I'm quickly turning into a morning person. I feel like you've been a morning person for a while here, but it is,
as I'm drinking a coffee as you're drinking 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but yes, I am a bit of a morning person,
but yeah. So shout out to that commenter. I must've been 10 years ago. He's probably in college now. So, hit me up. Glad you're a winning place fan.
So you were on the call with Pop, the Team USA call this afternoon. Is that correct?
Parts of it. Yeah. So Tatum practiced today with Team USA. They're going to need the dream of the Tatum Beal partnership has gone up in flames for this summer, which sucks. Really, you feel for Beal in that situation. Just a brutal, like you're so close to getting there. And now this terrible disease or virus just sidelines you. And now
yeah,
adds uncertainty to the whole team.
And now they say more minutes for Tatum now, right?
Right. Well, they're down to eight players.
There's that, right? And then now they're saying that out of abundance of caution that Jeremy Grant is most likely going to miss the Olympics.
Right.
Are we like, is that related to like contact tracing with Bradley?
I assume.
And if that's the case, like, and this is where it just, who knows? Because are we then assuming that Jeremy Grant has not been vaccinated? Because I have a hard time believing that Jason Tatum and Brad Beal were not hanging out on a level that would maybe suggest that if Jeremy Grant shouldn't go, then Tatum shouldn't go. I know Tatum had it already. I think that he's been vaccinated, but like, I don't necessarily know how they're handling those rules.
It must be that. It must be something. Again, we don't know. We don't see the specifics in terms of what type of contact results and what profile, depending on obviously who's vaccinated or not. But I think it's a clear situation where those two guys just didn't have the protections or whatever to put them in that spot. Obviously Beal, it sounds like, has tested positive, which Grant not, but maybe he is not vaccinated. I'm not sure in that front, but either way, it's going to be, like I said, Tatum could be playing 40 minutes a night by the time they get to Tokyo here.
Will they call guys up from like the minor league squad, or they maybe reach out to like, could they reach out to Jalen? And Jalen seems to be having a fantastic off season. I don't think you'd want to, you know, call that off and then go live in insanity. That's going to be the Olympics in Tokyo for a little bit, but or Marcus, you know, Marcus was around with Pop the last time around.
Right. So you have those guys. I assume again, like you said, Jalen probably isn't fully, he would be there in a second, I think, if he was fully recovered enough yet. I assume just 3 months out, he's not ready to do that at this point.
I forgot about that. So much has happened since that injury. I totally forgot that,
it is,
that he was out for the season last year.
He was out for the season. So
probably not doing that yet.
Probably not Jalen. Obviously Smart, Joe Harris, Harrison Barnes, those are guys that were on that World Cup team in 2019. I assume they're going to start with like begging Steph Curry and seeing if Harden and Donovan Mitchell, if any of those guys are healthy enough.
I want to see. There's a way in. Do you think that like when Harden, on the last day of the season, that maybe he weighed in? I love to see like where he's gotten himself in the last few weeks, under the assumption that he wasn't going to have to play for a little bit.
Right.
Like, he might need until the next Olympics 4 years from now, or 3 years from now, 3 years from now. I don't know how they're going to do it to be ready. And what about lastly, I mean, Peyton Pritchard, if he's not the centerpiece of a blockbuster deal, he's at least good enough to start for the gold medal, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good 11th or 12th, but surely better than Kevin Love. Based on what we've seen so far.
Yeah, the Olympic style. Who knows? Maybe.
But yeah,
Captain America.
The team USA select players, which are again was kind of like the rookie team, which disappointingly there are no Celtics on. But Darius Garland, Keldon Johnson, Sadiq Bey, those are the guys that have been called up so far for the exhibitions. If they can't get any, you know, of the stars that they want, I assume one of those guys might get the call up unless one of the role guys from 2019 World Cup team wants in on it. I mean, Trae Young, Julius, there's clearly a ton of other guys that should be on their list, but who actually wants to play right now with just 1 week out and probably not being in the shape you want to be in to play in the Olympics? That'll be a fascinating subplot for what could be a pretty competitive Olympic Games for a change.
It'd be unfortunate if the guy who probably would have fit in pretty well at the Celtics and was actually taken, you know, five picks after Aaron Nesmith ends up making that team and winning a gold medal. Sadiq Bey, I'm talking about. And I'm not totally sold on him yet. Like I'm not 100% ready to say that like that he's going to have a better career than Aaron Nesmith.
Right.
But at least for last year, he seemed.
Oh yeah, he was ready to help now, which is. Makes sense given his age, obviously, but yeah, like he was. I mean, he had some monster games against the Celtics, period. Mm-hmm. And was the 3-and-D shooter that was as advertised at Villanova. So that's among the comparisons to watch over the next couple of years. That's certainly going to be one for how he goes against Nesmith when they both have a full year or two at the helm. I do want to get into something that I know that you are always interested in, Rich, and that's title odds. But before we do that, let's hear from our sponsor, Bet Online, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. We know baseball season's in full swing right now. They just got out of the All-Star break, but you can get odds on that. NBA, offseason stuff, NHL, UFC, real-time updated odds and props, almost anything you can imagine. So before things get going, we know you want to make some summer league bets, Rich, too. So before you head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and take advantage of the 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines. You can use the promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's BetOnline, your online sports experts. And so I bring up the title odds for next year, Rich. I think it's a fascinating way to look at where Brad Stevens and the rest of the Celtics front office are at heading into this offseason. So I'll ask you just straight out, where do you think they rank amongst having the best odds for next year's title right now? Like first, second, third,
etc. Top 10. I mean, I would say that they're somewhere around 10th, I would guess. Maybe 8, 9, 10.
Here's where they're at. They are tied for 12th.
I'm not surprised or upset about that. That's we went in last year, right? And we said, okay, the Celtics are the same team they were last year. So the team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals with some help, you know? They're the same team they were last year minus Gordon Hayward. There's no way they are going to be better than they were last year. So this year, you know, you see where they were, another like a middle of the road team. You've gotten rid of Kemba Walker. You've brought on Al Horford. I don't see where you can make an argument that they are going to be a better team, right?
Certainly not, unless you think the fit was that bad with Kemba and Horford. You know, is going to be looking spry at age 35. And on top of that, you trade away your first round pick. So that's one other chip that you could use to improve that's gone.
Yeah. And I think I would not be shocked if the Celtics come out and have a great start, like much like they did last year. I think there's always that, like, you know, the new car smell, the new coach smell, right? There's going to be that vibe. All right. We're something new. We're starting fresh. And I don't know if having Brad around sort of maybe weakens that a little bit. But I wouldn't be shocked if they come out really well. But like, again, I think depth is an issue. I don't think they are built to deal with the long, you know, the war of attrition that is the NBA season. So I think as it moves on, if they can stay healthy, we say that with any team, but if these are one of those teams, if they can stay healthy, I think maybe they get home court advantage in a playoffs, but that hardly ever happens. And I think it's, I think it's very, very unlikely that they are in a position to compete for a title next season.
So how does that change? And by the way, so they're 33-1 odds. They are tied with the Mavericks and the Blazers for the 12th best title odds. And there are six East teams ahead of them, including the Heat and the Hawks. So how does that change, knowing that they seem that far off? How does that change anything about how you approach this next season, or this offseason, I should say, of like, what are your priorities? Are your priorities to say like slowly start building up? Is your priority to say, let's get our ducks in a row for a year or two down the line? Like what's the balance, or is it a mix of both? Like what's the path you take of that, knowing that at least according to the betting public, you're that far behind the pack, period.
Yeah, and I also don't think the one good thing about the NBA, and especially when you already have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, like one move and you are a favorite. You know what I mean? One move, you are in the top three or four. Like when you only got five guys out there at a time, and you know one player can affect so much. Like it doesn't take too much. I think you're playing the Jays window right now. That's what it is. I don't think this is why the Celtics were in a good situation for so long. And like, ultimately they didn't act on it too much. They did as much as they could. If Gordon Hayward wasn't freakishly injured, we might be having a totally different conversation. I feel like I need to mention that every time we talk about it, this last iteration of the Celtics not doing what they were supposed to do. But like what you do in the NBA, it's such a crazy league. These superstars that no one ever imagined would ever change teams are changing teams all the time. Things happen. You keep yourself with enough flexibility to move, and you try to compete as much and just not lose that flexibility. So when the opportunity arises, you can jump. we say the Celtics aren't in that position right now because, as we started off this conversation, I don't think they have necessarily the assets to jump as high as the other teams do. But I think it's about getting yourself in position to do that while competing. You already have a very solid team. You have a playoff team at the very least.
Right.
And then you just try to make those small moves here and there, get a steal in the draft, find a free agent, get some cheap players that can be those seventh, eighth, ninth players on a really good team. And then just wait in the weeds and try and put yourself in a position to strike for the fourth, fifth, and sixth players.
Agree. And I think that's, they try to do that with all these draft picks and none of them panned out in the last few years, which, you know, hurt them obviously in the short term. There's still time for those guys to develop, but that's, you know, Clinton didn't happen as promptly as they could have hoped. You brought up the Hayward there. And I was just like, I was thinking about this the other day. I'm looking at, I actually thought about this at the time when he left, and looking now that Kemba's gone from here, is it fair to say that the Kemba signing cost them Hayward, knowing that what happened to his role on the team, and knowing that that might not necessarily be a terrible thing, knowing what his health situation is now and how big that contract is? Like, their options, they would be pretty much locked in if they had signed Hayward for, you know, 4 and 105,
right?
And then he got hurt again this year, and like his value would be very, you know, would be, you'd be pretty stuck with him regardless. But like,
yeah,
what do you kind of look at that in terms of where they're at now and like a potential, not like a huge deal, because that the case can be made, hey, if he was healthy during that playoff run in the bubble, like they could have been in the finals, but knowing in the right big picture that he wasn't gonna, you know, he was getting pushed to a role where he was just not gonna be happy.
Right. So if he was like the third guy,
right, would he even have the third guy? Was that still would have been, would he still have been at the door anyway? I don't know.
Listen, what I've heard about Gordon is that he might be one of those people that isn't necessarily going to be happy wherever he lands. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not like, yeah, some people are just like that. Like, you just find things to not be as psyched about. You tend to maybe focus on the negative a little bit too. I don't know. Like, he's not super happy. And Arzen already talks about Charlotte maybe moving him. And
I think it would make sense for them to move him, like given the rest of their, like the youth of their roster and like how he lines up.
Yeah. And like, at the same time, it's hard to totally blame Gordon. Like, Gordon was Jason Tatum. Maybe didn't have the ceiling, but he was a super young, he was a Western Conference All-Star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In his mid-20s, like, he was a guy that was the leader, you know, he thought and was shown legit, not even flashes, like seasons worth of looking like a guy who could maybe, if not the best, certainly the second best player on a championship team. And I think that, right. Yeah. So not only is he the third, he came in when he signed with Boston. Shit, he signed before the Kyrie trade, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 He came here to be number one.
So he was the man. Yeah. Right. And then you get Kyrie, and then all of a sudden, you know, Jason and Jalen are coming up, not out of nowhere, maybe developing a little bit faster than people expected. And it's clear when they're showing that. And then we throw in the injury, when, you know, certainly the trajectory of Gordon's career is on the way down, while the Jays is just shooting straight up. Like, it makes sense. Like, you're not questioning the Celtics decision,
No. But
you can see why he could be like, ah, fuck. Like, you know, this is not what it was supposed to be. This isn't what my long awaited reunion with Brad Stevens was supposed to be. So you get it. That being said, like, would it made a big difference if you just took out Kemba and he was third instead of fourth? I don't know, really. You know, I don't, again, he wasn't healthy when it mattered. He wasn't healthy when it mattered for Charlotte. Like, that sadly just seems to be just a little snake bitten. Maybe he has a reason to be a little bit pessimistic about things. You know, he's had some tough luck on the court. But I don't, like, so would you feel that much better about the Celtics' future if Kemba's still gone and then it's Gordon, the Gordon that we know right now, if it's that Gordon with the Jays?
Right. Like, I don't necessarily.
Does that answer the Bradley Beal, you know,
yeah, so that's,
wanting Brett?
Right. Like, that's, I meant, right. It's like, would you rather have that, or would you rather have, you know, the option to go after Beal? You probably, given, I don't think you can say Hayward based on the fact of he just hasn't shown he can be healthy where it matters since his injury. And that is a pretty, you know, as he gets into his 30s, that's not where you'd want to be. Like, so it's,
yeah, 31. I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah. So it's not a situation where there's going to be a lot of buyers or more. I mean, it stinks for the Celtics from just a talent drain standpoint. You got nothing for the asset. I mean, you have Evan Fournier, but you're going to have to sign him for a market value contract. And I'm not sure. I mean, we'll see if that happens or not. But I don't necessarily think you have a lot of buyer's remorse now based on where that contract is and where the Celtics options are. I think having more flexibility for the next year or two is better than being locked into Gordon at age 31, despite the fact that he would have made this team a lot better last year.
Yeah, and I guess you look at what you need, right? And I think what the Suns are showing, and the Bucks too, to a certain extent, is you need willing passers in this league. Like, you need guys who their priorities. So you see, like when Rob Williams is out there, offensively, his priority is passing.
Yes,
right. I mean, rebounding, obviously, but like, he's looking to move the ball. He's looking to make things happen. Marcus and spurts can be that guy, and I think he needs to be that guy moving forward. And you talk about, you know, sort of strategic or just mindset changes that Ime might make, and that's the sort of thing that they joked about at the press conference, right? That like the Celtics just weren't, the ball movement was not there last year. That was not championship ball movement. That wasn't a championship offense, regardless of where they ranked at certain times of the year. Gordon had the ability to be that guy. He was one of the best facilitators. He was a solid passer. But where else, you know, because you got to imagine, I mean, Tatum can pass, but he's obviously going to be the guy worried about scoring most of the time. The Celtics need another guy, another Jay Crowder, another Mikal Bridges, just sort of the guys that you can plug into any NBA offense and are going to do the right things, don't need the plays called for them. And are just there to make the offense work.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a long, I don't know. I mean, I took that kind of took that.
That was a good, yeah. Like, that's a long way. It's funny now just going back and looking at everything when you're like, okay, what would you rather? And this is pre-injury. You're like, with the Celtics, you know, the Celtics gave up a lot of pieces in order to be able to sign Hayward that offseason. And then obviously Crowder became moved out the door in that Kyrie trade, since, you know, he wasn't going to be happy coming off the bench in that scenario, clearly too. But you wonder, it's like, okay, you want, if you have the right pieces in place, you know, Jay Crowder at $9 million versus Gordon Hayward at $30 million. It's like, you know, it's funny how things like that develop over time, where a couple years ago, that's a no brainer. And now you look at what like Crowder's doing in these games and you're just like, yeah, no, that like having the sure, role, even though Crowder, his 3-point shooting was never consistent here anyway, wouldn't it matter too? So it's like you go both ways and that sort of thing, I feel like.
Right, but he's also become the kind of player that you can, you don't want the 0 for 9s or whatever it is, but like that you can withstand a bad shooting night from him because he does so much else.
Right,
he
other
defends,
stuff.
He passes, he's tough. He's, you know, one of those guys that you just want on your side, especially at this time of year. But it's funny, you think about that now, like, if you just take the Kyrie trade out of it, right? So you got the Jays. I mean, if you could have Jays, Gordon, three Jays, Jay Crowder as well.
Yeah.
Then what, Terry will there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Al.
Morris.
It's kind of fun. I mean, what's that?
Marcus Morris.
Yeah, maybe you could skip that. I mean, it's like back and forth. I mean, a lot of these, it's like if you could take the best of the last 3 years, like at their best point of the last 3 years from that roster I just mentioned, like that's a pretty fun and solid team.
Oh yeah, no, it's again a lot of sliding doors. Like, what if things look back on just how things have played out? But it is that was just the Hayward, you know, sidebar. I just thought it was interesting to look at it, just knowing where. What they brought him in for and how quickly he was out the door, in terms of them just recalibrating how they want to plan things out. All right, let's wrap up on a little more. We talked about Yam Adar earlier, but we're sneaking up on Summer League here in a couple weeks. I know you just came back from Vegas, Rich. who are you excited to see in Summer League and from a Celtics standpoint? And is there, like, are guys like Carson Edwards, Tremont Waters, are those guys, do you kind of see them as, like, actually playing for the roster spots when they're there? Or is it a situation where, like, they really should be done here? They're not going to be able to, you know, 1 week of strong play shouldn't salvage just, like, the writing on the wall with where those guys are and what this team needs.
Yeah, who was it, Carson and who, Tremont?
So, like, Carson, Tremont, I mean, Taco obviously is a different category, but then I feel like those are the guys playing for roster spots, and then you have, like, Grant Williams and Romeo, who I think are just, you know, I don't think they're playing for roster spots at this point, but they're just playing because they need reps, and they didn't have Summer League last year, and, like, they both need to improve.
It's sort of depressing that they're still even at that point where they're,
right.
You'd have to, I mean,
it's most like third-year guys don't play.
Are there bonuses for to winning the Summer League championship? Maybe that's what they're going for.
We don't even know those
Summer League team.
It's possible those guys aren't playing too. Like, I'm throwing out there, be like, I would think the Celtics would encourage them to play. But I don't know. Maybe Romeo, it's like, we don't want Romeo to get hurt again. So, like, no, we don't want to play Summer League.
Right? he might get hurt on the flight over. Just keep him in a bubble. But yeah, I mean Carson. What more do you need to see from like you said, like, you're gonna see him go, like, beat up on some fucking 18-year-old, like, who's playing his first NBA minutes and be like, oh yeah, no, let's use another roster spot on him when we had the probably the worst end of the bench in the NBA, or definitely one of the worst ends of the bench.
Oh, it was the worst.
Yeah. And when I have an end, I mean, you can go like four or five deep on the end.
Yes.
Like the worst bottom five in the league. Let's roll the dice. What was Javonte Green, right? He's a guy that you rolled the dice on in Summer League, saw a little glimpse of something that maybe could be grow into something else. And again, he ultimately traded him, but I thought he's the kind of guy that you would like to have filling that role last year. Athlete, a gamer, someone that you can actually use, not an undersized shooter who doesn't shoot that well. Carson Edwards, no, I don't need to see you. Best of luck, not wishing ill will. He can go overseas and make a really good living, I think, for a lot of years, and I hope he does that, but just not on the Celtics.
Right, and then you have guys like, if he plays, then, and Madar is like, who do you want to see, him or Madar? No, who do you want to get those reps?
Like, exactly, right.
And so that,
get the shitty kid out there.
Yeah, get the shitty kid out there. And that's you make a good point about Green. Like, I feel like, you know, a lot of teams around the league, and most of these guys don't pan out, but usually there have been a couple that, you know, break through. I mean, the Heat have been fantastic at this, like the finding the Duncan Robinsons in the world of, like, the undrafted guys that they, you know, get locked into a two-way, and then lo and behold, they're actually legit players.
NBA record.
Like, okay, one of the best shooters in the league. So, like, the Celtics, for whatever reason, whether it's they've had, you know, they've drafted a ton of young guys, they just haven't had a lot of, like, good mystery, or maybe players have stayed away from playing for them because there's been so much other young talent there in the roster. It's like, oh, we're not going to play for the Summer League Celtics because we're not going to get the opportunity. So
I think Ante Zizic still has a chance to make it.
It's like,
yeah. He actually played in Israel this past year. Maybe we should have him on to talk about the
show. There you go. Yeah.
Maybe they played together.
Make that call. But yeah, so that will be, again, it'll be interesting to see of the elder statesmen of the young guys, whether the Grant Williams and the Romeo Langfords or the world play, and the fact that now that they won't have a first round pick this year, they'll have Madar playing. I'm sure Pritchard and Neesmith will play a little bit, but probably not too much. They'll probably want to protect those guys.
I'd like to see Neesmith just go and it's one of those situations. I remember because Jalen played the second year, right?
Yeah, he played the second year.
And I remember he did not play well, but it was because he wasn't out there trying to dominate the competition. Obviously, Jaylen Brown was able to dominate that competition. He was just not fucking around in a bad way. He was just working on stuff that he was not that great at.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he was putting himself in uncomfortable positions. He was working on specific moves. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, let's just go out and play and show everyone that I'm the best. It was like, how can I use this arena, these guys, as a useful scrimmage to work on particular things? So I would like to see Aaron Neesmith in that situation where you're out there and he's not just like, all right, I'm the big boy. Let me show you guys. Let me drop 30. It's like, no, let's just mess around. Let's work on this particular crossover or this particular turnaround jumper or this, whatever it is, just use that as live practice essentially.
Exactly. And since all these guys didn't play some really last year, I think that all those guys want that opportunity.
Yeah. Right.
Cause no one, all these guys have, you know, pretty glaring flaws in some part of their game right now.
How long are you going to go out there? You're going to do the whole week?
I doubt it. I mean, I usually tap out after 5 or 6 days, but it's we don't have a schedule yet. There's literally been we don't even know if we have media access yet, like in person to these players. So
interesting. Especially that, if this variant.
Yeah, this variant, exactly. Bit, like I'm not going to be, I mean, if there's access, like that'll be very useful since we haven't talked to these guys in person for a year. But right. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the NBA is like, yeah, we're gonna keep on stick on Zoom and you guys can watch from the stands.
Yeah,
10,000 other people.
Right. Yeah. You don't need to go to Vegas to have a Zoom with I don't know, whoever the 40 whatever pick it is. What is that? It always escapes me. 47? 44?
I think it's 47.
47.
Oh well, or maybe 45 actually. I know Madar was taken at 47.
Maybe that's what I'm
but thinking. Well, let me double check this. It is 45. So, 45. Hey, it could be. I wonder where Madar would have been picked this year. That'd be a fun exercise if he would have been like a late first round or something like that after a pretty strong season last year.
Yeah, that would be cool. You should don't tell anyone, but that would be a good story to work on. Either. Maybe talk to some folks, see what they say. I'm trying to think who's like the best 45th pick in recent years.
I want to say Jokic was taken in that range. I don't think it was 45, but
I wish there was an easier way. Just look at every 45th pick. I'm just like clicking back through.
Yeah, like right.
Isaiah Roby.
He's solid.
NBA players. In 2018 was the best one because it's not good podcasting. Ooh, Hamadou Diallo was 45 the year before that. So we got some. Again, we keep
Dwight Powell. Saying that.
Yeah,
The Celtics have had a number of, and they I mean, Dylan Brooks, 2017. That's pretty damn good, number 45 overall pick. So you can get some legit players in there, but there's also the Celtics had, can you guess, the Celtics have drafted at, well, we'll wrap up on this, at number 45 in 2015 and 2016. Rich, can you name these players?
2015.
One of them never played a game for the Celtics. The other one was, I believe, stretched after one season.
So 45th pick overall. And what were the years again?
2015 and 2016.
Was Chris Joseph one of them?
Ooh, good guess, but no.
Oh, do you remember when? So I looked. Do you remember when I said last episode that I thought that Al Thornton had played for the Celtics?
Oh, you're thinking Marcus
Thornton? I was thinking of Marcus Thornton, who was the 2015 45th pick, and then Demetrius Jackson, 2016. Man, talk about a guy that, and I'm including myself in this, but the media overhyped.
Yes.
As a potential future piece of the Celtics, Demetrius Jackson from Notre Dame. He was great. Was it summer league that he played well, or is it a preseason game? Do you remember that?
I think he played. I think he had a good summer league. And they signed him. He made the roster, and then they waived him quickly.
What country is he playing in right now? I haven't looked it up. I'm going to say Turkey.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, we'll say Russia.
Demetrius Jackson last played in Spain.
Spain, okay.
Wow, didn't see that one coming. But yeah, all right. So I think it's only fair that we wrap up on
Demetrius Jackson. So
he played in Lithuania before that. So only Lithuania and Spain were his two stops. He was still messing around in the G League before that. He played for the South Bay Lakers. Important information.
All right, so we'll find out, will the number 45 pick be the next Demetrius Jackson or the next Dylan Brooks? We're 2 weeks away from finding out. Draft is heating up. We'll monitor that. Monitor Jason Tatum, Team USA. Monitor. I think it's going to be a busy week, Rich, of like trades on draft week and stuff like that. So that should we'll cover that wall to wall as we get closer here. But as always, hit us up at Winning Plays Pod on Twitter. You can watch us on YouTube now. Hit Rich up at Rich underscore Levine.
Oh no, wait, I changed my Twitter handle. It's now it's now at the Shitty Kid. You can reach me there.
You can listen. And we look forward to having Yam on the podcast to break down this
without question.
But as always, thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week.